Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. And a quick note before we jump into it. As promised this morning, I posted the third of the extra morning news videos this week on this channel. And so if you didn't catch that or any of the other extra videos, I'll include those top links in the description down below, along with yesterday's Philip DeFranco Show, which got hit by YouTube. And we're still trying to figure out how to deal with what's happening on YouTube. We are making the best of it, but I'm just letting you know. So if you didn't see it, you can click in the links down below and watch those. But with that said, let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today are updates around the Khabib McGregor situation. And if you don't recall, they fought at UFC 229. It was a really hyped up, massive fight. Khabib ended up winning. And what followed was just a chaotic brawl. If you want details on it, I'll link to the video down below. The main point, the big update today is that both men have been suspended indefinitely. The Nevada State Athletic Commission voted unanimously to indefinitely suspend Khabib and McGregor. The commission also reportedly voting to release half of Khabib's $2 million purse to him. Now, as far as what this means moving forward, you can hear indefinite suspension. You might think, okay, that's a permanent ban. Well, what it really is just an extension of that 10-day suspension while they finish everything up. And so what comes next is the Nevada State Athletic Commission has to finish that investigation. And following that, the commission will file complaints against the two fighters and potentially others. And right now, there's not an exact time frame, but NSAC Chairman Anthony Marnell, he has said that he hopes to have this all resolved before the end of the year. But ultimately, we don't know. It is a very unique situation. And also, NSAC, the penalty could be anything. I mean, we're talking, it could go from nothing happens or there's a minimal fine all the way to a permanent ban. But ultimately, we'll have to wait and see. And honestly, I mean, as long as they are not permanently banned, whatever they end up getting fined, if there is a rematch or whatever they orchestrate for the next thing, I mean, it's incredibly likely they're going to more than make up for whatever bad things came from this. But I could be completely wrong there, but we're gonna have to wait to see. And I know when I first reported on this, it was so close to when it actually happened, and I asked, you know, what do you feel about it? I still wanna ask that question again as far as what you think should happen here, because we are now more separated from the actual event. Maybe you feel differently, or you've seen more angles and arguments. And I'd love to know what you think. Then, in a quick update on the Megyn Kelly story we talked about yesterday, her comments about blackface, apology, etc. One, according to reports, her agents at CAA have dropped her. Two, NBC Today ran a rerun of her program. And that appears to be because, three, multiple sources have said that Megyn Kelly is out at NBC. But also, according to the reports coming out, this may not be the worst thing in the world for Megyn Kelly. In the report, there's a reference to an NBC executive with knowledge of the situation, saying Megyn Kelly is done, she's not ever coming back. We are just working out timing of the announcement, but mark my word, she is gone and will never be seen on NBC Live again. But then that source added, here's the worst part, her deal is a non-break deal. So she walks away with all that money. It's disgusting and head should roll here because of it. And if you're unfamiliar with what Megyn Kelly's deal was, she was to receive $69 million over 3 years. And so if all of this is true and the network's not able to prove that somehow she broke part of her contract, I mean, Megyn Kelly kind of just got an extended vacation. Well, not even that, an extended paid vacation. But ultimately, we're gonna have to wait to see. We're seeing public moves as well as things behind the scenes from unnamed sources. Things can change, things can develop. I think it's always good to have a healthy level of skepticism, but we'll see. And then let's talk about the story around all of these suspicious packages. And where this starts is on Monday, a suspicious package was reportedly discovered in a mailbox at the home of billionaire investor and liberal donor George Soros. And the package was a manila envelope with the return address of the former head of the DNC and current Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And that manila envelope contained what appeared to be an approximately 6-inch pipe bomb. And here we saw authorities arrive on the scene and they performed a controlled detonation on the device. Then we fast forward to yesterday morning where the Secret Service announced that suspected explosive devices were sent to former President Barack Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Also, according to the Secret Service, the packages were found during routine mail screenings and were intercepted before they were delivered to the intended location. And according to the FBI, both of these packages were similar to the one delivered to Soros and had Schultz listed as the return address. Then, shortly after that announcement, there was a similar device found at CNN's offices in New York, which prompted an evacuation. Reportedly, that package was addressed to former CIA Director John Brennan, and again, the return address was Schultz. And here, we saw it removed from the offices without incident. It was taken to a secure facility to be investigated. And reportedly, an unnamed senior law enforcement official said, same package, same device. But in addition to that, we had law enforcement saying that the package also had an envelope with white powder. However, after investigating, they found that it was harmless. And it appears that package is the only one that's had that addition. After that, another possible suspicious package was discovered at the Sunrise, Florida office of Wasserman Schultz. And reportedly, that package was addressed to former Attorney General Eric Holder. But an issue with the address caused it to be returned to sender, which was listed as Schultz. Then, two more suspicious packages addressed to California Representative Maxine Waters were discovered. One was intercepted at the Congressional Mail Screening Site in Maryland, and the other was discovered at a South Los Angeles mail facility. Then, in a addition to that, this morning, two suspicious packages, both addressed to former Vice President Joe Biden, were found at two different postal facilities in Delaware. There was a package addressed to the actor Robert De Niro, found at a non-residential building in New York. And reportedly, the retired police officer that called it in, who was responsible for screening De Niro's mail, he said that he remembered seeing the suspicious package a day or two earlier, but he held off and then ultimately decided to call it in after the reports from yesterday. And so as of recording this video, that brings the total number of suspicious packages to 10, but authorities right now believe there could be more out there. Now, as far as what is being done, what's happening now, we're seeing investigators looking into the possibility that the packages were sent by the same person or a coordinated group of people. And while they haven't confirmed this, there are strong indicators that they were, specifically the timing and the similarities between all of the packages. We had FBI Director Christopher Wray saying, "This investigation is of the highest priority for the FBI. We have committed the full strength of the FBI's resources, and together with our partners on our joint terrorism task forces, we will continue to work to identify and arrest whoever is responsible for sending these packages." And reportedly, investigators have begun to narrow down their search areas thanks to clues from the packages. But also on that note, they have not officially released any further details about the investigation. And on that note, while it's still too early to have an official motive from investigators, many politicians and others have said they think there is a political motive. Clinton, Obama, Biden, Waters, Schultz, Holder, they're all Democrats. Brennan was a CIA director under Obama. Yo Soros, who regularly throws money at Dem campaigns and causes. De Niro repeatedly criticized Trump. You also have CNN, which has been a constant target of fake news comments by Trump. And actually, on that note, there have been many people blaming Trump due to his frequent attacks on the left and on the media, specifically CNN. And not just because he calls them fake news, but because he's referred to them as the enemy of the people. But as far as responses, yesterday we saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders condemn the attempted violent attacks in a statement on behalf of the White House saying, "These terrorizing acts are despicable and anyone responsible will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. The United States Secret Service and other law enforcement agencies are investigating and will take all appropriate actions to protect anyone threatened by these cowards." Sanders later tweeting, "This is an ongoing situation that President Trump and his admin are monitoring closely. Our condemnation of these despicable acts certainly includes threats made to CNN as well as current or former public servants. These cowardly acts are unacceptable and won't be tolerated." We also had Vice President Mike Pence tweeting, "We condemn the attempted attacks against former President Obama, the Clinton, CNN, and others. These cowardly actions are despicable and have no place in this country. Grateful for swift response of Secret Service, FBI, and local law enforcement. Those responsible will be brought to justice." We also saw Trump retweet that tweet from Pence, adding, "I agree wholeheartedly." Also last night during a campaign rally in Wisconsin, President Trump said that there is no room for violence in America and that we must come together.
"For example, those engaged in the political arena must stop treating political opponents as being morally defective. The language of moral condemnation and destructive routine, these are arguments and disagreements that have to stop. No one should carelessly compare political opponents to historical villains. We should not mob people in public spaces or destroy public property. As part of a larger national effort to bridge our divides and bring people together, the media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility and constant negative and oftentimes false attacks and stories have to do it."
But also he had many criticizing these comments, people saying that it's hypocritical, also accusing him of trying to direct blame towards liberals and the media. And on the hypocrisy note, you had people pointing to when he was originally on the campaign trail and he said he'd pay for someone's legal fees if they hit someone.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees.
Also, people pointing to a more recent story, that being when Trump seemingly praised Greg Gianforte for body slamming a reporter.
"Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind of..."
And actually, on the note of directing blame towards the media, we saw a Trump tweet this morning. "A very big part of the anger we see today in our society is caused by the purposely false and inaccurate reporting of the mainstream media that are referred to as fake news. It has gotten so bad and hateful that it is beyond description. Mainstream media must clean up its act fast." We also saw Sarah Sanders defend the president after being asked if he feels responsibility for the attacks due to his frequent criticisms of the media and his opponents.
"The president's condemned violence in all forms, has done that since day one, will continue to do that, but certainly feels that everyone has a role to play. Look, there's a big difference between comments made and actions taken. The president is certainly not responsible for sending suspicious packages to someone, no more than Bernie Sanders was responsible for a supporter of his shooting up a Republican baseball field practice last year."
Then when asked whether the president regrets calling Waters low IQ and insulting Joe Biden and others who received packages, she said,
"The president is going to continue to lay out the case and the differences between Democrats and Republicans. America Americans have a choice to make, and he's going to lay that out, and you're going to see him do that over the next 12 days. Stop?
Also, a thing that needs mentioning is after the reports began yesterday, there were some on social media who were insisting that this was a false flag operation. In fact, yesterday outside of the Florida governor debate, one person held a sign that said, "Democrats, fake news, fake bombs." And we've seen that phrase pop up more and more, or variations of it. And it wasn't just randoms on the internet. We had Lou Dobbs tweet, "Fake news, fake bombs. Who could possibly benefit by so much fakery? Hashtag MAGA, hashtag America First, hashtag Dobbs." Dobbs then deleted that tweet and then tweeted out, "Fake news has just successfully changed the narrative from the onslaught of illegal immigrants and broken border security to suspicious packages. Let's get back to left-wing driven caravans and the Dems who encourage them." He then followed that tweet up with, "On Lou Dobbs tonight, I'll take up why FBI and ATF hasn't informed the public about contents of suspicious packages. Whether hoax or bombs, they were clearly designed to influence election. Why?" And I just have to say there, the Lou Dobbs stuff, I think, is an example of tribalism at its worst. If someone does something or tries to do something bad to your person, like whoever did it, it was obviously the other side. They were trying to scare or hurt someone. But when it happens to people on the other side, oh, obviously it's false flag. Obviously it's a conspiracy to make these people seem like sympathetic figures and that the opposition is violent. Obviously this happened to generate massive news coverage to distract from other massive news coverage, like Lou Dobbs said, the immigration story. But you know how easy that is to say? You jump to the other side and say, well, obviously this story is meant to distract from the Khashoggi situation so President Trump doesn't have to do something big. No, it is not obvious. It is not definite. In the world in its current state, with how big it is, there can be more than one big thing happening at any given time. And with these packages, right now, without us knowing really anything, anything is possible. But rather than give the authorities time to figure out what is happening, to try to hold the people that did this accountable, people are just fucking plugging and playing a situation to fit their narrative. It's the same fucking thing every fucking time. And once again, at this point, anything is possible. But for the people that immediately assume, oh, this is false flag, there's no way the opposition sent this, I ask you, did you have that same thought when Donald Trump Jr.'s wife was sent a white powder? Or did you automatically assume that it had to be someone that opposed the Trumps? And also the general idea that if it was someone that was liberal that did this, or someone that was conservative that did this, that somehow represents the entirety of the group and not just the extremists of that group. That's ridiculous, disingenuous bullshit, and I feel like there are some people that believe that, and there are a lot of people online that really just feed into it because they grow because of it. But that's where I'm gonna leave this one. That's my personal takeaway, and of course I pass the question off to you about your thoughts with this. And that's where I'm going to end today's show. And of course, remember, I wanna hear from you, whether it be the last story, the first one, anything in between. Let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. Also, while you're at it, if you like the show, you wanna support it, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button. It makes it even easier to make sure you catch all the new shows, which, by the way, if you did miss yesterday's Philip DeFranco show, you want to catch up, you can click or tap right there to watch that. Or if you want to watch this morning's extra bonus news video, you can click or tap right there. But that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.